was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. And this was freely given, and I found that he always kept his word. Yes, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. Yes, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And with my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. And then the heavens opened, and I saw that my name was written down. Oh, yes, there's a new name.
Hallelujah.
It's written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. Yes, there's a new name written down in glory. Oh, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And with my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore to roam. And in the book 'tis written, saved by grace. Oh, the joy that came to my soul. And now I am forgiven, and I know it's by the blood I am made whole. Yes, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. Oh, yes, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And with my sins forgiven, I am found for heaven nevermore to roam. And I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. Oh, then the heavens opened, and I saw that my name was written down. Oh, yes, there's a new name.
You remember
written down in
when
glory,
your name was written down in glory.
Mine.
Oh, yes, it's
mine.
With my sins forgiven,
angels sing the story.
Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. It's always my joy to welcome you every Saturday, 1 o'clock, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, on this radio stations, on the internet, and on Facebook, and wherever else I can get on. I'm here to tell you some wonderful things about the Bible. We got a great subject today. We really have. We're going to talk about discipline. Discipline. Now listen, that is hard to, I don't want to talk about discipline. Well, you may not, but you sure need to, because everything of life requires discipline if you're going to be successful. Everything. Your home, your business, your job, your relationship to your community, government, you know, citizenship. Everything about your life depends upon you being in self-control. That's it. Self-control, that's what difference is. It's learning control. It's learning proper control. It's learning right control. Now, we're talking about the home. That's at the very heart of our subject here, the home, the family. And that's where we really want to zero in today. But we're not going to just stay there. I want to deal with church life, your Christian walk, and the discipline that goes into being a real Christian, and your citizenship. the responsibility you have to the world in which you live, the culture in which you live, your nation, America in our choice, in our particular case. And I'll be talking to people from many different governments around the world, but you must reverence government to a proper degree. Now, I know there's all kinds of government, and there's all kinds of overarching government, and there's dictatorships, and there's a lot of things out there to deal with. But I want to deal with you, discipline your life to do what's right. You discipline your life to do what's right. Theodore Roosevelt made a statement. I really love that. That's at the head of the program today. With self-discipline, most anything is possible. Excuse me. With self-discipline, almost anything is possible. I agree with that. My daddy taught me something years ago, and I loved it. He said, if a job is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor, great or small, do it well or not at all. And you could really apply that to everything about your life, your home life, your relationship with your wife and your children, your husband and your children, with, you know, your in-laws and with your family. Everything requires some degree of self-discipline and self-control and temperance. And if you're really going to have a great family, and this is a zero now, what I want to talk about today. If you're going to have a great home, if your home's going to be a happy place, if your home's going to be a well-organized, well-directed place, somebody has got to learn self-government and self-discipline and self-control. And you, Daddy, and you, Mother, are ultimately the responsible figures. It all begins with Dad and Mom. It all begins with Father and Mother. It all begins many times with what grandmother and grandfather did. And so let's talk about self-control. Let's talk about discipline. Do you want a home, a happy home? Do you want to have a good job and make a decent living for your family? Do you want to have a decent home to live in? And do you want good meals for your family? Do you want a good relationship with a church, with a body of Christ, where you can live out this Christian faith? Do you want that? Do you want to be a good citizen in your community? You want people to respect you. You work a job. Do you want to prosper in that job and go up and climb the ladder of success and maybe someday become a boss man or become an administrator or even become an owner? Who knows? There are many entrepreneurs out there who are starting their own business. If you don't have self-control, don't you dare try to start your own business. If you don't know how to take control of your life and do things rightly and under the right discipline, don't try to start your own business. Many times people have failed and made a disaster out of their life with trying to start a business when they didn't have control of themselves. They couldn't make proper decisions. They didn't care for their equipment. They didn't care for their employees. They didn't care for what time they went to work and what time they shut off. They just had no sense of discipline. I believe in good, strong discipline in every area of our life. I hope you'll stop and listen to this. I really do. I hope there's some people out there that you've made so many mistakes and so many messes, and you're ready to change that situation. You're ready to get things in order. You know, I remember in 1980 when my health had come to a real crisis. I was only between 40 and 50 years of age, and I said to the doctor, what kind of diagnosis do I get? I said, I'll say 1 to 9, what is my problem? He says, about an 8. An 8, I said, wow, that didn't sound very good. So I went to work on my health. Out of that situation, I learned many things about good health and self-control and self-discipline in what I eat and how much I eat and what kind of good vitamins. I'm not a medicine person, but I am in for nutrients and good vitamins that have been researched thoroughly, and you know what you're doing. And so I do things to take care of my health. I was 82 yesterday. The only way I could have been 82 yesterday was in 1980, I learned some self-discipline. I learned some things I had to do to take care of this body. I learned that my eating habits had to change. I quit eating 12-ounce steaks and started eating about 4 ounces of steaks. My doctor told me, you don't need all that red meat in your body. Eat a little bit and don't overeat red meat. And so I changed the way. I eat a 4-ounce steak and I may buy 8 ounces and bring 4 of it home. You know, I mean, that's just the way I do. I do a number of things that are very, very healthy. Very, very healthy. I really want to do some studies of health techniques and some things to do to take better care of yourself. But the Bible is so at the helm of my life. And that's what I give myself to, is this holy book. So you've got to become a self-disciplined person. It's absolutely imperative. You've got to take control with a wise, understanding approach to your life. Can I help you with that? Would you listen to me? Would you maybe make some changes about your life and do some things differently? I'm not going to talk about it today, but I sure would like to. Now, I love that thought by Theodore Roosevelt. With self-control, you can be successful with almost anything. Look at this building here. We built this building. I don't know if you ever seen that window back there behind the choir. I built it with my own hands. It's gorgeous. I mean, I don't know any imperfections in it. I mean, I worked hard. I did it stick by stick. A lot of panes of windows. Took 1,100 pieces of molding to put the stained glass in. Now, that took discipline. I had to stay with the task. I had to learn to do what I had to do, and I had to do it right. If I didn't know, I had to ask somebody. I had to be disciplined. My home is the same way. I built my own home, about a third of what it's worth, maybe a little less than a third. I built it myself. I've got a fireplace, a mantle in there that's absolutely gorgeous, built out of black walnut, cut the trees, hauled it to the mill, dried it in the yard. I mean, all these things take discipline. Am I getting to you? Am I getting your attention? Are you grasping what I'm saying? Now, much more important than that window in there and that fireplace in my home is children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren now. Your family, your children, your home, your wife and your relationship with your wife. You're not going to have a good marriage if you don't discipline yourself to the right conduct and the right attitude and the right care of your wife. The Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That is a biblical requirement. That is a biblical requirement. And sir, if you don't love your wife as Christ loved the church and your marriage becomes a disaster, it's going to be your fault. You understand that? Now, ladies, same thing. A virtuous woman is going to build a great home and a great family with a good husband that cares about her. These things I'm talking about is discipline, learning to do right. Now you've got children. You got boys and girls born into your family. They're not just your children, friend. They're not just however many you have that you're now responsible to love, and they're going to love you. They got to be disciplined. The children and the discipline of the home is one of the greatest matters in life. Nothing is greater in importance than discipline in the family, discipline in the home. Your children will likely go to hell for eternity because you fail to discipline them and teach them rightly in the home. The Bible says that. The Bible says that very clearly, that you do not train your children right, you could be responsible for them spending eternity in hellfire. Do you want that kind of duty? Do you want that kind of responsibility on your back? Wouldn't it be terrible for you to get saved late in life and go to heaven, but you raised your children when you were careless and idle-minded and didn't put yourself to the task, and now your children are out there living little puppies under the porch? Come on, friend. We are responsible for our children, to discipline them. I'm telling you, if your children are not disciplined in your home, they will probably never be disciplined. You learn those kind of things by the time you're 14, 15, 16, at the most 21. If you don't learn discipline, by the time you leave mom and dad's house, it will be a very rare miracle if you ever learn discipline down the road. You'll probably learn it by hard knocks if you learn it. You'll love it by disaster if you learn it. I'm telling you, your children need discipline. They need to be taught how to act with their neighbors, how to treat adults, how to treat the elderly, how to treat one another, how to treat their classmates in their school, how to treat their teachers. I mean, the children in your home can learn a multiplicity of things, thousands of things from a good mom and a good dad who teaches their children rightly. Now, I hope I've got my phone person here. If they are, I want to see your finger, your hands waving at me in the door. Because I depend upon that, and I don't have anybody yet, I don't think. I don't know why. Somebody forgot, somebody got in a car jam, I don't know, but they'll be here in a minute, I'm sure, and you can start calling. But until then, hold your phone, okay? Now listen to me. I want you to learn discipline. I want you to get this. The home was created by the Creator to be a place where children and young people learn to live. They learn to live well-controlled lives. They learn to live how to treat people. They learn to live how to talk. If you've got a big loud-mouth television sitting there playing everything that Hollywood produces, you're going to create a hellish home that's going to be terrible and going to do great damage. Are you listening to me? I'm honest. I'm just an 82-year-old man trying to tell you things that will make your... your life sweet and rich for you. Okay, my telephone person's here. I praise the Lord. I was worried about that. These are wonderful people. Boy, do they take care of this preacher. And I love them for it. Now, listen to me. Let's get back to this matter of discipline. You've got to teach your children discipline in that home. You've got to teach them discipline in that home. If they don't learn it in that home, they will never learn it. I promise you, a few will, you know. I'm allowing for a few exceptions. I really am. But I'm telling you, we're talking about important matters of training your children. I could talk to you about a lot of things. And I'm a studied man. I love to learn. But I want to tell you, I couldn't talk to you about anything more important than discipline. And especially your children. Listen to me. They're going to spend eternity somewhere. They're going to spend eternity somewhere. And I'm weeping for the souls of everybody that I've ever met, that I've ever known. Every kid that's ever come to this school since 1974. And there's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands. Every kid that's come through this church. Every family that's even visited one time. I'm weeping for their soul. I want them to go to heaven. I don't want anybody out there to go to hell. Are you listening to me? I don't want one of you in eternal torments. You just don't know how horrible hell's going to be. You just don't know what it's going to be like to be in that place a million years and know it's just started and you've got eternity to go. You just don't want that to happen to you. And you don't want that to happen to your children. And you don't want that to happen to anybody you know, anybody you care about. And discipline, good self-control, learning to live by the laws of right and wrong. There is a right and there is a wrong. There are many wrongs and many rights, and that's what you learn in discipline. Now, it's so important. I want to read to you a little bit from the book of Psalms, division 37. I'm preaching from this tomorrow, by the way. I'm going to preach tomorrow on Satan's helplessness, trying to see my sermon title here. I have to watch myself. Satan's helplessness against God's covenants. Satan's helplessness against God's directions. Satan's helplessness against God's promises. You got to hear that. Satan is helpless against you if you do what this book says. The devil can't destroy one person that lives by this Bible. I'm telling you, Lucifer is a loser. He's never been nothing but a loser. And he cannot destroy anything built on this book. He can try. He can make hell hot for you. I mean, he can make life hot for you, not hell. He can make life miserable for you, but and he can give you trials of your life. The Bible says you're going to go through some tough places. They're good for you. They make you something better than you would be without them. I'm not kidding you. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I got to read to you a little bit. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. See, that's discipline. Don't fret yourself. Don't get all out of whack and all disturbed because of evil workers and somebody who's taken a turn against you. Man, I've had so many enemies in my life. The worst enemies I've had has been the last 10 or 12 years since I turned 70. And I've had some toughies. I've had some dark ones, but I'm not going to fret myself about them. I'm not going to walk around angry with them. I promise you, I've forgiven people who hate me so long ago. If they would tell me they wanted me to forgive them, I'd say, what for? I don't remember, you know, because I just am not going to live by those things. Fret not yourself because of evil workers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down. They will soon be cut down. Your enemies will be cut down. Mark it down in your book. Your enemies will fall on their face if you do right. If you do right, if they're doing wrong and you're doing right and you keep on doing right and you keep on trusting God, your enemies are going to fall and you're going to keep on going forward. That's just how God is. I had a little saying I always taught my kids, and I love this saying, right always prevails. It's very simple. Right always prevails. I said right always prevails. It don't always prevail the first time. I don't always prevail at what seems like the beginning, but in the end, right always prevails. You've got to hear me now. In your home, in your family, you've got to teach them right, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now listen, trust in the Lord and do good. Now I'm talking about discipline. I'm talking about self-control. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now listen to what he says. So shalt thou, wait a minute, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Wow. You know, the Bible is such a wonderful book, and it all begins with obedience. And obedience is not a thing but self-control. Obedience is simply doing right because you have chose to do right. Put yourself under control to do what's right, what the Bible has taught, what's pure, what's clean, what's holy. I was in a business yesterday. The man asked me, how old are you today since it's your birthday? I said, well, you give me a guess. And there stood a young man. He said, well, I would say 60. I think he was fooling me because I think I look a little more than 60. And we kidded a minute. And I said, no, I'm 82. He said, how in the world, sir, did you live to be 82 and look so healthy? I said, because I believe in living right. That's what I said to him. I said, now listen to me. You can't fornicate and commit adultery. You can't drink and smoke and cuss and swear and tell dirty jokes and do all kinds of ugly things, live like a snake hiding in a den somewhere. You can't do those things and live a long, healthy life. It's just not going to happen. You say, I knew a man who did. Well, there may be somebody who somehow gets by. Maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody's praying for him. Many times the reason some man gets by some woman is because there's a mom or dad somewhere on their face crying out for God. Crying out for God, and God is holding the line on them and giving them an opportunity because of this old man who's on his face weeping and sobbing for his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm telling you, you do right, and right will prevail. You do right. You teach your children to do right. The whole thing I'm trying to get you to understand is you've got to teach your children to do right. You got to teach your children to do right. You really have. And that's what discipline is. That's all discipline is. You understand? It's a very simple thing. It is teaching everybody in your family to do right, to do what is right, to do what is pure, to do what is holy. That's what it's all about. Don't gobble up your food like urchins. You know, eat with dignity, eat together as a family, teach your children how to be mannerable. Don't let them get up and leave the table when they get through. Let everybody sit there till everybody gets through. That's a very wonderful policy. Tell your children, no. You don't just get up from the table. If there's some urgent thing, you ask me, and I may give you excuse, but we'll depend on that. But normally, you sit at this table till we all eat together, and then we'll have dessert together, and we'll talk to one another and love one another. We'll be a sweetheart family. We'll care about one another. That's discipline. That's the thing you got to talk. If you always go to Bojangles because you've worked hard and you don't want to take time to cook, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You need to cook some meals for your family. Eat some good things together. You can put on a casserole before you leave in the morning and let it cook slowly all day. I mean, it's an easy matter. All it takes is discipline. All it takes is self-control. All it takes is you knowing what right is and doing it. Do you hear me? Doing what's right and doing it right and doing it with the right attitude, and teach your children these things, and teach them how to treat their neighbor. Teach them not to walk across other neighbor's property like it belongs to them. Teach them to play none of those kind of inconsiderate games around your neighborhood. It's amazing to me how people come walking through your yard anymore and they act like, why are you trying to stop me? Had a couple of big old boys trying to get through our parking lot recently. And I was sitting here and I can see out at the main drive. And I got up and I said, hold it, guys, you can't walk through this property. There's a school going on. We got kids everywhere. And I'm not going to let you come through here. This big old guy, I mean, he's twice big as me. And he walks up in my face and says, who's going to stop me? Well, I didn't have no weapon. I don't carry a weapon. I do. I carry weapons, but I carry two of them. And I would use them if I needed to. I promise you that. And I said, sir, have you ever, well, I walked up in his face, to be honest with you, right up close. Well, he could look right down. He had to look down at me. I walked right up and said, have you ever had hold of a Holy Ghost filled man? And you know what he did? He turned and left. I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I know who takes care of this man. I know who takes care of this person. I'm depending on him, buddy. And I was depending on him right then. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew at the right moment I know what to do, and I'd do it and everything would be all right. I mean, that's just how life is. You do right and you will prevail. You will prevail. Now, I'm spending a lot of time here on the family and teaching your children, making your home a happy place, and taking your children to a good church where the Word of God is really preached, and teach them to love the Lord Jesus. Teach them to believe every word in that Bible. Teach them to believe every word in that Bible. Teach them to live by every bit of it from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, that's just how it is. If you're going to go to heaven, you're going to live by the Bible. If you think you're going to heaven without living by the Bible, you're going to be sadly disappointed. In fact, you're going to be a sad soul on that reckoning day if you think you can go to heaven without living by your Bible, because it ain't going to happen. I said, it isn't going to happen. Excuse that word, ain't. It isn't going to happen. And I'm begging of you to get in that book. Now, let me slow up a minute here. The number to call. I want to take your calls. I want you to argue with me if that's what you want. That's up to you, of course. But if you want to argue with me, I will love it. I promise you, I'm very good with arguments. So just get on your phone. And if I can't answer you, I'll tell you to call back next week, because I'll learn to answer you. Here's numbers now, 704-391-0588. You got that? Write it down if you don't have it. 1-800-338-7884. I've been on so long, I cannot even imagine that you don't know. I really cannot. Let me make sure I remove the right thing here. Do you know I've been on this program since 1973 or 72? I'm really not sure. 1972 or 73. And I wasn't on internet and wasn't on Facebook. We've added those things as we moved along, but we've got a big audience. Man, did I have a wonderful response for my birthday yesterday. Wow. Still having it. I'm overwhelmed about that. I'm overwhelmed. I am impressed with your kindness. And I want to be faithful to you right down to the last ebb of this journey. Now, I've talked about the family. I've talked about your duty. I want to give you this. This is a beautiful booklet. beautiful booklet. It comes out of a big notebook that I've got available on the family, Rebuilding the Foundation of the Home. You can order that for $15, about 200 pages. And I promise you it's good stuff. And this is one of the chapters. And I'm going to give it to you today. Discipline or useless, your choice. Discipline or useless, your choice. You're either a disciplined person or you a useless person. Did you hear me? You're either a disciplined person or you a useless person. You're either disciplined or you don't have nothing in control and you're making a mess out of your life. Or if you're disciplined and you do it right, you can build your life. I've known so many people who didn't have a college degree, didn't even have a high school education, and they'd go up in a business because the boss men saw they were disciplined. The boss men saw they came to work on time. They worked hard. They didn't goof off. They didn't spend time talking on the telephone or whatever you can waste your time doing. They were committed to the job, and they gave all they had to it. And the boss men watched them and said, Man, he'll make a good supervisor. I'm telling you how it is. You've got to be disciplined. You've got to put your life in control. Now, I want to give you this booklet. It has so much in it. I mean, it has so much in it. And it's yours free if you'll simply call 1-800-338-7884. 1-800, that's toll free. I'm paying the toll for you to call. Of course, with your cell phones anymore, you don't usually have to pay any toll anyway. But 1-800-338-7884, and you can call 704, and that's the number with a cell always, 704-391-0588. 704-391. You got that? 704-391-05. That's my, yeah, that's, I almost thought it was my home number. Forgive me today. I'm 82. See, I got a good excuse when I do something dumb. All right, call quickly. Want to hear from you. Want to give you that article, and you learn how to discipline your family. There'll be enough material in that one article, if you'll listen to it and go to work on it, that you'll get your life disciplined and you'll be a different person. Are you ready? Now, I want to talk to you. I want some questions from you. I want some feelings from you, some opinions from you. And while you're doing that, get on the phones now. I'm going to talk about discipline in the church. Discipline in the church. You need to make sure you are disciplined to this Bible. And you need to make sure that your church is disciplined to this Bible. If your church doesn't preach this whole book, you ought to change churches. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You haven't already done it. If your church don't preach this whole Bible, do not go to a church that doesn't preach this whole Bible. Do not go to a church that gets in these new translations that are very confusing and very, very, I mean, very, very changed. They do not reflect the true Word of God. I believe the King James is a most dependable Bible. I believe it's perfect. And I believe it's the one you ought to want in your life. Now, get in your Bible and make sure your church is in your Bible. Do you know what's happening to churches today? Do you realize how many churches are turning from the old-fashioned Bible to all kinds of new ideas, learning all kinds of new ways of doing things? I mean, how many churches do you know they've took the stained windows out? They don't have an altar. There's no cross on the wall. They just preach a feel-good social kind of message. And usually it's not so much what they preach, it's what they don't preach. Don't listen to your preacher for what he does preach. They can sound so good. They can sound so, you know, so sweet and so sugar gooey, you know. No. You study what he's not preaching. He's not preaching the second coming of Jesus, the great rapture of the church. He's not preaching a clean, holy life. It's okay to smoke and drink and cuss and swear. It's okay to do anything you want to do. As long as you believe, you're still going. No, you're not going to heaven if you don't live right. You're not going to heaven if you don't live right. You understand? You've got to be born again. You've got to be washed in the blood. Regenerated is one good word. Converted is another good word. Saved is another good word. You've got to be a new creature in Christ if you're expecting to go to heaven. You were born in sin. You were shaping in iniquity. You're just like I was before I came to Christ. You got sin in your life. You got sin in your heart. I was a liar and a swearer and a curser and a thief. I did so many terrible things. I'm ashamed of them today. But when Jesus changed my life, I changed what I wanted and how I wanted to live. And now I want to live for Him. Now, grab your phone. I want to hear you. Listen. We got preachers today that preach everything but the Bible. I was talking with a great friend this morning, and I'm learning that most of the Pentecostal preachers, especially the old-fashioned ones, are beginning to preach the T.D. Jakes sermons. They're reading and studying after T.D. Jakes. He's a Jesus only. He's endorsed homosexuality as an acceptable lifestyle. He's a blasphemer. If you follow him, you are part of a blasphemer. And the Bible says you can't bid Godspeed to something that's not of this Bible. If you do, you're partakers of that very thing. Now, you've got to get in a church that is in this book. Discipline yourself to your Bible, to the Holy Book. You read the 37th chapter of Psalms today. Okay, and then come hear me preach it tomorrow. Oh, I promise you, I'm going to preach 15 things that Satan cannot stop in your life if you live by the Bible. If you live a disciplined, biblical life. Friend, it's wonderful to serve the Lord. It really is. It's a wonderful joy. And you got to have a good, solid church home where the preacher gets in that pulpit and rails against sin. And preaches against blasphemy. And preaches against fornication. And adulterous living. Preaches against drinking. And cursing. And smoking. I mean, preaches a gospel message. That's what he's got to do. Or else he's guilty of what I'm talking about. Being undisciplined. Do you realize that probably 90% of the preachers today are undisciplined themselves? They've never committed themselves to the self-control of this Bible. They really haven't. It's sad. It really is sad. Now, I'm waiting for your calls. You don't let me just sit here. I want you to call and tell me what you think about what I'm saying. If I'm on track, then tell me. If I'm not on track, give me your opinion. Let's talk about how important being a self-controlled, self-disciplined person is. I mean, it's just at the heart of the whole life. It's at the heart of the whole life, how you eat. Everything about your life has got to be in control. When you're driving down the highway, don't drive like an idiot. Don't drive so fast you don't have good control. Don't go down the highway breaking all the laws and doing dumb things. I did some of them younger, but oh, I'm so glad I learned better. I really am. I'm telling you, it's time to be a self-disciplined person. It's time to be under control. It's time to order your life rightly. It's time to do right things in the right way. And it's time to get ready to go to heaven. If you intend to go, I'm telling you, you better get ready to go, because it's later than you think. Now, the number to call again, 704-391-0588. Grab your phone. I want everybody out there on the phone line as quickly as you can now. Well, everybody can't do it at the same time, but four of you can. Okay? 704-391-0588. And I'm loving what I'm saying to you. See, I'm saying to you what is so beautiful and so wonderful, and I love it. I love to say these things to people. I love to preach these things to people. I get this great feeling of joy when I'm laying out in front of you things that will change your life. I mean, I get excited because I know that's my duty, and I got to answer to God for doing it. And so I want you to hear me, and I want you to get it in your heart. How many of you out there will learn to be a disciplined person? Let me have some teenagers who will call me and just say, hey, my mom and dad have kind of given us a free road and haven't disciplined us, but I'm going to start disciplining myself. I'm going to start working on doing right and talking right and acting right and working hard. And I'm going to make something out of my life. I'm not going to be a wreck. I mean, I'm going to be dedicated. I'm going to be committed. That's what we need, my dear friend. I'm telling you, there's no joy like the joy of living a good, clean life. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello, Pastor. I've been listening to your broadcast today, and there's something that I would like to hear you address concerning church discipline.
Yes.
And that is almost unheard of these days. You know, Paul had to deal with the church at Corinth with certain problems. They had to throw people out of the church at times because of the problems that they were causing. And I realize maybe that's not so much the case today, but very seldom do we see church discipline. And I know I have seen at times where it's done in private, but I've also seen at times when it is done in public. But I would like.
Well, you don't do it in public unless you have a person who has continued until they've made a nuisance out of themselves. And then the Bible says, rebuke that others may learn not to sin. But you don't do that normally. You do it privately with the individual so you can bless them and help them.
Yes, sir. I've seen so many churches who have suffered with new converts coming in. And it always seems to be one person, one individual, one family causing all the problem. And it's almost as if the pastor will not stand up and address that situation, whether publicly or privately. And I wondered if you could address that just for a moment.
Yeah, it's a good subject. Thank you for calling. I agree. There's got to be discipline in any church situation. I'm sorry. There's got to be discipline in any church situation. Sometimes we pray for God to send us the right people. Sometimes we pray for God to protect us from the wrong people. Because there are people who have no commitment. I remember a lady months ago now who came here one Sunday morning. And she came in the door. I was out in the hallway. Sunday school was in progress. And she said, the Lord sent me here to really help this church. She said, I have the gift of prophecy and I can prophesy. I said, well, ma'am, I don't know you, and we don't allow people to walk in off the street and prophesy in our church. We have to know those who labor among us, and you are not welcome to prophesy. Now, you're welcome to go in there and sit down and listen to the word, and we'll give you a chance to learn, and somewhere down the road, we'll find out what your skills are. And so she went in, and wasn't but a service or two. I would see her sending off with maybe a new person or somebody and talking to them. And I remember going over to her. She was talking to a man, and I said, could I help you? She said, well, you leave us alone. I'm talking to him. I said, no, ma'am, I'm the pastor here, and I've already learned some of your techniques, and so you cannot do that. Oh, she got hot. I said, well, come on, let me show you the door. And I took her over and said, now you need to go on, and you're not welcome here to act like you're acting. You don't just walk in this church and take over things. We have men who do that, and you're not going to do that. And so she was gone. I haven't heard from her since, and I don't imagine I will. So there are times. I remember a woman one time, we're coming down the aisle trying to prophesy something. I don't remember exactly her words. And I went and met her in the aisle, and she was intoxicated. And I took her right back to her seat. I said, you sit down now and be quiet. You know, several times like that through my years, I've had to take control, and I'm perfectly willing to do so, but I don't do it anxiously. I don't do it unkindly. I just do it in a way that's proper and right. And there has to be discipline in a church. There has to be discipline. And there cannot be somebody that doesn't care about the other person. We pastors have to be very careful. We have to be kind. We have to be led by the Holy Ghost. And that's what's important. The Spirit in us will show us. I've seen people walk in the door, and the Holy Ghost would say to me immediately, that person would be a trouble if you don't watch them. And I would immediately take control of the situation. And I believe that's how it should be. So we need discipline in the church, but we need discipline in the home. That's the first thing we need, is mamas and dads who don't tolerate undisciplined kids, undisciplined children, undisciplined members of their family. You got to have discipline. All right, we welcome your call, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-337-338-7884. I'm sorry. 1-800-338-7884. And the local number. Use this if you're going to use your cell phone. And that's 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. You'll need a 1 if you're calling outside our area code. Okay? Want to hear from you. I really would like to talk to you about this whole idea of self-control. I'd like to hear. Hey, and while we're waiting for your call, okay, grab your phone. Quickly, grab your phone. Very, very important. Grab your phone. I want to hear from you. I want to talk to you. I want to get some feelings from you. I want to be a blessing to you and a light to you. That's what I always love, is being a blessing to anybody that I can. You know, I'm here to be a blessing to you and to help you walk with God and to live a dedicated life, an obedient life, a well-disciplined life. I mean, a well-disciplined life is a beautiful thing. My wife was an example of that. I mean, we were married 62 years and 91 days, and there was never, never a splinter between us. Never a splinter. And, you know, we just cared about each other, and she was the wisest woman. Oh, she was so wisely and so wisdom-directed. If I had a problem with a lady, I would often ask her to take care of it. And she could be a blessing. I'm telling you, she could. Some of you will know some of that. School, how good she was with school parents and school children. Just absolutely grand. And I've got great teachers, by the way. Hey, while you're calling, 704 now, 391-0588, grab your phone. I want to hear from you. Please don't just sit there and say this. No, you call and ask the question. And I promise you, I'll do my best to answer. But I do want to tell you, that we are coming down to the wire here at our church in our debt retirement. We've got one more full payment this month on this building, $3,800 a month. We've been paying that almost 18 years. $3,800 a month, almost 18 years. And it's always been, you know, school radio bills and books bills and all kinds of things. Well, in a matter of just a short period, all of our debt's going to be retired. If I had $20,000, it may take a little more than that, but there'll be some in the budget for a little of it. If I had $20,000, we could be out of debt in about 2 months. Would you like to be part of that? How many of you out there would like to be part of Paul Creek being debt-free? If I had 20 of you who would give $1,000, and then if 20 of you would give $100, and 20 of you would just give whatever you can, maybe more or less, we could have it all done in a short period of time. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Would you like to help me? Hey, would you like to help us? Oh, I believe you will. I believe there's going to be some of you who will help. I've never been a good fundraiser. I'm just not good at that. I do my best, but I'm not really good. I've got a wonderful church family, and they take care of things. We've got a great school. We got 6 new students for this second half of the year, and we'd like to have 6 or 10 more or 20 more. We've got room for them, and our school is the best, one of the best. Let me say it that way. Although I think it's the best, I'll just say one of the best, and we'd like to have you involved with us. All right, you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Pastor Chambers?
Yes.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Well, I'm above ground today.
Well, I'm above ground too, and I'm looking forward to the days ahead of me.
I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing this day and time, but anyway, I was listening to your broadcast on the radio. I'm calling from Whiteville, and you were asking about, you were talking, I can't tell into the message, but you were talking about self-control, I think.
Yes, self-control, discipline, ordering your life by rules and right living and the commandments of God and being honorable. Okay? Are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you now. I think I cut you down too low. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, it sounds to me like you're screaming, but I can understand you a little bit. Just a quick question. How do I put this? I'm not living a righteous life at this point in my life. I know that I'm backslidden. I know this.
Wow, are you backslid and you know it?
I'm backslidden and I know it.
Why aren't you doing something about it?
I'm going to.
When are you going to do something about it? Today or tomorrow or next month?
Well, better
Yes, that's exactly right, ma'am. Where are you calling from? Down east, North Carolina?
I'm in Whiteville, North Carolina.
I know. I used to live down there close. I pastored the Church of God at Black Mountain. I'm sorry, at Tabor City.
Oh, Tabor City, okay.
That's a long time ago, lady.
Is that right? Yeah. You said you started that ministry in 72?
I started the program here on Open Bible Dialogue in 72. I pastored Tabor City. I went there in 57.
Oh, well, I wasn't born until 73.
Oh, well, I understand. Now, let me help you. Are you ready to surrender your life to Christ?
Well, listen, I want you to answer my question first. I got a quick question, and I know this is a crazy question, but between me and you, I feel comfortable asking you this.
Well, you're not talking between me and you now. You're talking to the whole world.
Oh, Lord, why didn't I know that? Well, hello.
What? This radio program is on all over the world, ma'am.
Oh, am I alive?
Yes, you're alive.
Oh, gracious, I can hear me now.
Now I want you to Let me stop you. Okay. I want you to give my lady your phone number, and I'm going to call you, okay? You give her your phone number. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm not going to talk any further because I don't want to tell the world what you want to tell me. I want you just to tell me, and I will help you repent. Now, you hold the phone. I'm putting you on hold. Please grab that in the office, and take care of this lady. Get her phone number, her address, and we'll do our best. Now, that lady needs to be saved. Isn't that amazing that she had called this program wanting to get right with God? Didn't know she was talking to so many people, but that's okay. I don't mind. I just don't want to embarrass her, you know. And listen, if you'll discipline your life, if you're backslid, anybody that's backslid, it's their fault. Jesus is available. His grace is adequate for any need in your life. He will never turn away from you. He will never put you on hold. He will answer you and help you when you're ready, when you give him your life. See, discipline is a matter of your will. There was something on Facebook, I think it was yesterday, about I'm trying to see how the man worded it. I don't think I'm going to remember exactly, but he was talking about the right of self-will, the right of self-control, and he was against it. And I thought, well, man, you couldn't even get right with God if you didn't have control of your life. If you can decide for Christ, then nobody can stop you. The devil can't stop you. The devil may be a big booger man, but he can't stop a willing soul that turns to God. I'm telling you right now, you really turn to Christ, and God will make the difference. He'll give you the grace to make your way through whatever situation you're dealing with, if you mean business. If you mean business, and if you're ready, and I hope that lady is. Now, give us a call. Let me go a little further while you're calling. I want to hear your call. Now, grab your phone, 704-391-0588. I want another call, two or three more. Quickly, grab your phone, 704-391-0588. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. We must have self-discipline in our citizenship as Americans. This protesting that's gone completely wild, while people are getting out there protesting and acting like they are from the gutters, like they don't have good sense. That needs to be put a stop to. If you're gonna disagree with something, do it like a gentleman. Do it like a lady. Do it like somebody with good sense. Be disciplined. I will hear a protest from anybody who acts like they respect my ears and not just trash everything in front of me. We got a president that is absolutely wonderful. Oh, you say, is he perfect? No, I'm not, and you're not perfect. If you think you are, you're full of baloney, okay? You're not perfect, I'm not perfect, and he's not perfect. But he's a good president, and he's giving it his best, and good things are happening. You realize what a better shape you're going to be financially and economically before this man's presidency is over? And that, by the way, is 7 more years, and I want you to understand that. It was God who put him in, and I'm one of the ones on my prayer bones that prayed and waited before God until God told me Hillary Clinton is not going to be president, and I knew it, and nobody could make me doubt it. I knew that Donald Trump was going to win, and I know that I was part of that win, and I feel good about it. I feel good that I was praying and crying out to God and claiming a miracle that woman, Hillary Clinton, would not get in and take us further and further and further down the road to ruins. We was on our way to being a banana republic. Wasn't far away, but thank God for good people that's turned things around. Now you need to be a respectable citizen, and you need to be self-governed in your keeping of the laws and your honorable service in your government. You need to pay your taxes rightly, and don't be a crook with that, and be a good citizen, and drive right, and live right, and treat your neighbors right, and vote right, and don't gripe if you don't vote. If you don't vote, you have no reason and right to say a word. Be a good citizen. So discipline is a matter of one's whole life. Everything from the time you're born and daddy and mama begins to teach you, that you can't just rule the house with your screaming and squalling. Oh, how many kids did we find 5 and 6 years old? They squall, and mama will bend and do anything they want. And she wonders why when they get 16, they're radicals, and they dress like they don't have any common sense, and they live crazy because mama didn't teach them nothing when they were young. And daddy didn't teach them nothing when they were little pictures around the house. So I'm talking about discipline. I'm talking about your home being a place of discipline. I want you to get this. And I want it to affect your life. Now, the phone again. I want another call. I want to help you understand that to use a switch on your children is a wonderful thing when they need it. Now, be careful. You do it right. You do it and you be disciplined. There are parents who just get ugly and mean and scream and yell. That don't do anybody any good. In fact, it does nothing but harm. Be a disciplined person so that when you discipline your children, you do it lovingly and gently and with a good basis and with a good attitude. If you don't discipline your children rightly, then you only can make them angry and cause them to become more vile and more vicious than they would be. Bad discipline is a horrible thing. It really is, and we do not paddle anymore at our school, but we call parents and say, now listen, your son will not listen. He won't do right for nobody. If you want him to stay here, come over to the school. We got a room you can take your child in, and you can do some kind, nice discipline, and then we'll take the child back in the classroom, and then the responsibility is up to you. And so that's how we do it. And it works beautiful. All you need is a mom and dad who got some courage and who know how to do things right. All you need is a dad who's a disciplined dad. If you and mama are separated and you're living with some other woman in a shack somewhere and she's living with some man in her house to whom she's not married, then don't expect the kids to act like they got good sense. They're not going to act disciplined when they know you're not acting disciplined and you're not living good and you're not living right. Now, I'm giving you just some good old straight stuff, and I hope it will affect you and you'll want to become a disciplined person. There's nothing worse than men and women living together outside the lifestyle of marriage, just shacking up, whatever you want to call it. People don't like for me to use the word shacking up, but what do you say? How do you describe it? You meet it everywhere you go now. You meet it everywhere you go. If you're living with a woman without the benefit of marriage, you're a fornicator, and she's a fornicator. And you both are going to go to hell if you don't straighten up your life. Is that understandable? Can you make sense of that? I think you can. We just care, and we want you to become disciplined. We want you to live by your Bible. We want you to live a disciplined life. I love a disciplined life, and I love you so much. I want you to be a disciplined person. Now, I got about 6 minutes. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. Grab it right now and quickly and call. My lady is answering the phone. I don't know how many are calling, but I know this is available, a wonderful booklet about discipline, teaching, helping you learn, helping you get the feelings of what the Bible says, understanding how to conduct yourself and how to be in control of your own life. And if you say, I don't have no control, well, Jesus takes that difference. That's where I get my control, is from Jesus. I mean, I've been washed in the blood. And when you've been washed in the blood, you're a new person inside. You can act different than you acted before you came to Christ. He puts a want to in there. He puts the capacity in there. He puts the ability in there. He gives you the grace to do right. He gives you the wisdom to do right. He gives you the strength to do right. He gives you the power to do right. It's all a work of the Lord in the hearts of men and women who are honest and who want the truth and who want the Bible and who want to go in the right direction. Now, I'm praying for you. I really am. Let me tell you about our school. It is a great school. It really is. We're growing. We know that with the economy now, but really blooming, it's going to grow and grow. 6 new students for this second half. We're praying for 6, 8, 10 more, 20 more, if God would send them. And you need Christian education for your children. You really do. You don't want to raise them in a place where transvestites can use any bathroom they want to. You don't want to raise them where they teach same-sex marriage is okay and it's just as right for a man to marry a man as for a man to marry a woman. That is blasphemy. That's wickedness. That's sinfulness. That will end you up in a devil's hell for eternity. And I'm warning you, don't go that route. Turn around and live right and do right. And do the things of the Lord. You'll be proud of it. There is nothing so beautiful as to live your life. And as you come down toward the end, you can look around yourself. You look back behind yourself. And you say, well, I made some mistakes, but God's helped me. And I've lived good. And I've served Him. And I've obeyed Him. And I don't know. Have you been on Facebook since yesterday? You got to go and read this little story of a dear woman who sent a post on my Facebook yesterday, and it's been put up separate at the top, and it's a story of a little child that she took to the hospital, and I happened to be there, and I don't get any credit, it all goes to God, and the little child was less than 2 years old and heard me down the hall in some other area of the hospital praying, and she said, and her mother heard a very low, preacher, pray for me. That's just all she said under her breath or quietly. I couldn't hear her. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And I come walking down the hall and I said, there's a child here want me to pray for them. And I didn't know who it was. I didn't know what room. And this mother comes running out of her room and she said, it's me. It's me. It's my little daughter. And so I go in and the little child, fever, 105 and expecting death. And God just performed a miracle. Yes, heal that little one. I never heard the full extent of that until yesterday. Never heard it. 25 years ago. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I've had so many miracles like that I could not recount them. And I've never been one to tell them much. I don't want to sound like I'm boasting because I don't get no credit. It's God. It's His grace. It's His good. But you go on Facebook and read that, okay? I think there's been nearly 200 posts on my stuff from yesterday. Nearly 200 posts. Isn't that something? I got to go through and read them all. And no way I can answer them all. But I'm grateful. I love you, and I'm glad you love me, and I feel that. Now, I need $20,000 to get myself out of debt. Can you imagine this $4 million place being paid for completely? $4 million? Isn't that wonderful? My wife and I gave all we had. I mean, she died with $300 in her bank account because we just put it all in the work of God, paying the bills, paying this building. And so I need 20 people who'll give 1,000 and then 20, and then maybe 100 more who'll give different amounts, whatever you're capable. We'll be out of debt here in about 2 months. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Would you like to help me? Would you like to help me? Come on now. Would you like to? Get on the sticks and help Reverend Chambers, will you? I haven't pushed you bad through the years, and I just want to be a blessing. I love you. Been a joy. In the morning, I've got a great message. The devil is bound. He cannot stop the promises of God. I'm telling you, the devil cannot stop the promises of God. The devil is defeated, and Jesus is the victor, and I love you. I do love you. You're special to me. You're special to me.
Sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam.
Never.
Yes, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine.
Oh yes, it's
mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white robed angels sing the story.
A sinner
has come home.
Oh yes, there's a new name.
Glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And
Lord,
with my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore to roam.
The greatest.